Hope you all have found a place to sit. Let's pray again as we get started. God, we thank you so much, as we always do, for this chance to be together. God, we thank you so much for this family, this community you've given us. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you care enough to speak to us, God. Please, this morning, please, please do so yet again. God, please move me out of the way. When I open my mouth, may you feel it. And God, more importantly, please give us ears to hear what you have to say. Please invade this place, invade our hearts with your Spirit. We so desperately need it, God. We so desperately want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we continue on in our study of the book of Mark. Yeah, our clicker works today. There's a praise. Okay. Continue on our study of the book of Mark. Last week, kind of started a shift in the narrative of Mark. Okay, we had for weeks and weeks, for the first three chapters of Mark, it's just been just bam, 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 one thing after the activities of Jesus. Okay, miracle after miracle, sign after sign. And Mark is such a very immediate book, and he says immediately or right away, just over and over and over again, and it's just such a tightly packed, almost terse narrative. But last week we saw how he called the apostles and how he appointed some of his followers apostles. You know, said, you are going to go out and do what I do, and he's going to send them out to do the same things that he had done. Now, for the next little bit in Mark, we see a shift. We actually start to see some of Jesus' teaching. So we go from his activity, and of course, it's not such a neat dividing line, but we go from his activity to we're going to take a closer look at some of his teaching. And of course, the things that he did were bringing freedom to the captives and destroying the works of the devil, like Chad had talked about, and bringing freedom and bringing hope and bringing healing wherever he went, bringing the what we call the kingdom of God crashing into this world wherever he went with his activities, with his healings, with these miracles and these signs. And now we're going to see a little bit about what he said. Okay, what he taught. In Mark chapter 4, it says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. And so, it's not that Jesus didn't teach through the first three chapters of Mark. It's just that Mark didn't record these teachings. He was always teaching. And a lot of the Gospels seem to take it almost for granted that we know what Jesus talked about, that we know what he taught. They say, Jesus taught and he did this. And the first three chapters of Mark are like that. It said, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. So this kind of a natural amphitheater effect while he's sitting in this boat teaching this large crowd on the Sea of Galilee. He talked about last week how these crowds were getting just huge. And he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have any deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Okay, was that a first for anybody? This story? No. Who's heard this before? Yeah. If you've been in church more than a few weeks at a time, if you've been around the church very often, you've probably heard this parable, this story before. This is very, 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 very common. Okay. So this wasn't new to anyone, right? Was anyone almost fall asleep while I was reading this? I mean, there's so many things that are so familiar, okay, that we just, you know, skip over them, right? And when we went through Luke, I did this. I skipped over this one because it's just so familiar and everyone's heard it so many times, okay? So, but part of the problem with that, these things are so familiar, is we get tricked into thinking we know what it's talking about. You know, we don't really give it the mental energy and the understanding it that it deserves. You know, because Jesus said, and we'll see, we'll read it here in a few minutes, he told his disciples, you know, he said, "This one, how can you possibly understand any of my other stories? How can you possibly understand any of my parables if you don't understand this one?" Okay? So it's pretty important, right? Jesus told his followers, his apostles, said, "You can't understand anything else I say if you don't understand this." Okay? So if you've heard this before, have you heard someone, you know, do a teaching or a sermon on this before? Raise your hand. Okay. Did it go something like, okay, the seed is the word, and Jesus sows the seed, and some of the seed falls on the path of people who are hardened and don't hear it at all. The seed doesn't even come up because Satan comes and snatches away the seed. Then some folks are shallow and they superficially respond to the gospel, and it withers and dies because they don't have any commitment, right? And some people, the gospel, you know, blooms in their hearts and it flourishes for a while, but it gets crowded out by all the concerns of the world, right? And then, but the good ground, if the seed falls on the good ground, who are people who hear the word and respond and devote themselves to Jesus, and therefore they become these mighty plants and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit, right? You with me? So what do you want to be? You want to be the good ground, right? Okay, you with me? Have you heard that before? Okay. Well, good. Now we can go home, right? There's a lot of truth in that, okay. And that at one level, that's what this is about, okay. There's so much truth in that, and I don't want to minimize that at all. But that's just something that we've heard so much that we miss the other level to it. Mark chapter, listen, later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God or the mystery of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Now, what do you do with that? Okay, Jesus tells a story about the seed and the soils. And he says this. He says, you guys are permitted to understand the mystery, the secret. I'm revealing the mystery of God to you guys, the mystery of the kingdom of God to you guys. But for people who don't get it, for outsiders, so when they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. There's something else going on. There's another level to what's going on here. And let's think about, okay, but first, before we get into this, let's think about the context. Let's think about the setting. What things had been happening just in this previous chapter, okay, to Jesus as he traveled around and as he healed people and as he ministered to people and as he taught people? What sorts of things had he been facing? Let's look at some examples just in Mark chapter 3. Since it was the Sabbath, I think this is verse 1. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Remember that story? So he goes into the synagogue and he's going to teach, and here comes a man with a withered hand, and these religious, hardcore religious guys are watching Jesus to see if he has the nerve to heal this guy's hand on the Sabbath. Right? They're going to accuse him. They're going to take him before the authorities if he heals this man's hand on the Sabbath. That's how important these observations and these rituals were to these people, that they would not, they would just be scandalized if Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath. And later on in that chapter, when his family members heard what was happening. In other words, when there were thousands of people gathering around Jesus, and he just hordes of people just constantly following. And when his family, his own family, heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. "He's out of his mind," they said. Okay, his own family. He was gathering, you know, such a following. His own family said he's out of his mind. And Chad talked about this one a few weeks ago, verse 22. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons. Okay, so these ultra-religious guys, again, they see Jesus doing all of these miracles and casting out demons and healing people. And they say, I tell you where he gets the power to do that. He's not from God. He's not the Messiah. He's from Satan. Okay? So, was Jesus facing any opposition at this point in his career? Yeah, there were people just pressing in from everywhere, coming from all over this region. Remember that big map we looked at last week? People were traveling with the express purpose of hearing Jesus and seeing Him heal people and to be healed by Jesus. But at the same time, there were people gathering in just to keep an eye on Jesus and to evaluate Jesus and to judge what He was doing and to see how that they could put a stop to this man. Right? People who were so hardened in their hearts that they just could not imagine someone having the nerve to heal someone on the Sabbath. So there are people coming and being curious and people coming and seeking Jesus and people coming with just, you know, genuine broken hearts needing to be healed and people coming with hope for a Messiah. There are people coming to condemn Jesus. You know, looking for a way to kill Him. Looking for charges they could bring up against Him, right? So that is the, remember, that is important to know, that is the setting for this parable. And let's go back and let's look at this, the end of this text here. He said, "You replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, that the scriptures not be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven.'" Obviously, you can see the way this is, you know, when you look at it in our text, it's set out as a, you know, piece of poetry here, and it's in quotes. Anybody want to guess why that is? Because it's a quote. Right? It's a quote from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. The setting for this, you know, Isaiah, the prophet, is sent to a group of people, to the Israelites, who are hardened in their religious observances. Okay, remember that we've talked about early, you know, the first couple chapters of Isaiah before, God said, your festivals and your observances and your prayers and your worship, it just makes me sick. It's a burden to me. It's wearisome to me. I hate it. He said, I've had enough of your sacrifices and your festivals. He said, get them out of my sight. I don't want to hear it. Right, because these people were just hardened, and they were following these religious observances and these religious rules, but they were hardened in their hearts, and they would not, you know, look after the oppressed, and they would not love other people. And Isaiah, a prophet, was sent to these people. In Isaiah chapter 6, you have this exchange between God and Isaiah. It's just really wild. Scene here. We'll break in the middle of it. And then Isaiah says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?'" You know, this people, this people with these hardened hearts. He says, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" And he said, or God said, "Yes, go. And say to this people, 'Listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing.'" You know, God, this is... It's almost just hyperbole. It's God saying, these people are not going to listen. They are not going to get it. I'm going to send you anyway. These people, they can't hear. You know, they're so tied up in their religion and their observances. Their hearts are so hard towards each other. They're not going to hear, they're not going to see, and they're not going to understand. They're not going to turn to me for healing. And then I said, Lord, how long will this go on? And he replied, until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland. Till the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. If even a tenth, the remnant survive, it will be invaded again and burned. But as a terebinth or oak tree leaves a stump when it is cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed. Prophet, you know, hears this. God saying, these people aren't going to hear. You know, they can't hear, they can't understand, their just hearts are too hard. And you're going to go speak to these people anyway. And the prophet says, how long is this going to go on? How long are these people going to have these hardened hearts? How long are they not going to hear from God? God basically says, till they're all gone. And all that's left is a stump. So that... When Jesus made this, you know, this quote, when they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Do you think his disciples and his apostles, do you think they knew what he was saying there? Yeah, they would have immediately known that he was quoting Isaiah. This was a direct quote from Isaiah 6. Jesus saying, I am living out the story of Isaiah. Okay? Are you with me? This is an exposition of Isaiah. It says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they will last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So Jesus explains, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any of my parables? How do you understand anything I say if you don't understand this? Then he proceeds to explain it. And his explanation on one level is exactly, you know, what I mentioned earlier. There's some, you know, we want to be the good ground. We want to be the people who hear the word and receive it and who let it go down deep and who devote ourselves to it and don't let other things take it out of our lives because we want to bear a crop. At an individual level, it's, you know, it's certainly there. But remember the story that Jesus is living in, that He has stated He's living out, the story of Isaiah. This parable is not just about us as individuals. This parable is about the world as a whole, and it's about not just individual people, but peoples. Okay? See what I'm talking about. Let's continue on Isaiah 6. Remember, God said that He's going to continue on this. These people are going to continue to be hardened and they're not going to hear anything until they're all gone and nothing's left but a stump. You know, this definitely a judgment against these people and their hardened hearts. But then, what's He say in Isaiah 11? The prophet says, a shoot will come up from what? The stump. of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Who is this? What is this prophecy referring to? Who is this prophecy referring to? Jesus. Jesus, the root, the stump, you know, the shoot coming out from the stump of Jesse, from his root a branch will bear fruit. It's talking about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I love that passage. So what's it saying? These hard hearts, these hardened people, and these people who can't hear God and can't see God and can't understand anything. It's going to continue. It's going to continue until none of them are left. There's nothing left but a stump. And then out of the stump comes what? The Messiah. The Christ. Jesus. And he brings with him, he ushers in a new kind of kingdom, a new kind of reign, a new kind of rule. And God, through him, is going to fix everything. The imagery here, again, is of nature being completely remade. The predator and prey relationships are completely, just completely done away with. Just everything being remade, and the earth is being flooded with the knowledge of the Lord out of this stump. Isaiah 55, we do this all the time. Isaiah 55, again, the prophet says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause what? The grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit." So Jesus wasn't the first to use this metaphor of grain being sown. Isaiah, God tells Isaiah in Isaiah 55, said, "My word, this seed, I'm going to send it out, I'm going to sow it, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up, and these events bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of His power and love." So Jesus, when he says this in this parable, what's he saying? And his explanation is, others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Think about the story in Isaiah. Think about this thread running all through the prophets that Jesus is tying into, splicing into. There, of course, is this level of personal responsibility that he's bringing out with this parable. But at the same time, there's a deeper thread, a deeper rhythm. And Jesus is saying all of this stuff through all the prophets that you've heard all of your lives. read in the synagogue every Sunday. All of this stuff is starting to happen right here, right now. I am sowing the seed. It is taking root. Isaiah is coming to pass right before your eyes. The kingdom of God is arriving right here, right now. And there are people that are hardened and aren't going to hear it. You know, and it's also, you know, a longer timeline to this. You know, this seed has been sown. God sowed His seed of the Word through these generations of people in exile, and as they came back, and is always sowing this seed, and it was just people continually just rejecting it outright or getting some things right and turning back to God temporarily and then going their own way, then falling into warfare with one another. And it's always just been these false starts and these hits and these misses, and it's always just it's been somewhat of a mess up until right now. And you guys, you 12, you apostles, you disciples, and this crowd, all these people who are here listening to me with open ears and open eyes, you are seeing the kingdom of God take root right now. The stump has sprouted. So with these soils, we do see that personal responsibility to make sure that we don't allow this kingdom of God to be choked out by the cares of this world and the desire for wealth and all this other stuff. At the same time, we see this. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. We see this not just as an exhortation to do better, but an invitation for our lives to be a part of this new creation that Christ has inaugurated. You know, and you got to love the prophets, man. The idea of God of the sower, this runs through all the prophets, all the Hebrew prophets. I love this passage in Hosea 2. This is one of my... This is a killer right here. Hosea talks about, you know, the danger. You know, most of the prophets, all the prophets, of course, talk about the dangers of the things that Israel are involved in and the judgment that is coming upon them because of the way they've turned away from God, or the way they've screwed up worshiping God or completely abandoned Him. Whatever the case may be, it's always this judgment that God is going to send on them. But most of them, after this just brutal, you know, judgment, talking about how bad they are, have this promise of restoration. I'm going to read the restoration passage out of Hosea 2. In that day I will also make a covenant for them, you know, for the people, God's people, the people of Israel. I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and will make them lie down in safely. I love that passage. I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and will make them lie down in safety. And this is beautiful. God speaking to His people, to His rebellious, fault-filled, hard-hearted people. He says, I will betroth you to me forever. In other words, I will marry you forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and loving kindness and compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. I will marry you forever. I will marry you in righteousness and justice, and love and compassion, I will marry you in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. It will come about in that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to what? To the grain, to the new wine, and to the oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. Anybody know what Jezreel means? It means God sows. God sows. God plants. They will respond to the sower. They will respond to Yahweh the planter. And I will sow her for myself in the land. It makes me think about the parable of the sower just a little differently. I'll have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. So, God the sower, Jezreel, has always been sowing the word. And right before our eyes, just like these people, right before our eyes, the seeds of the kingdom of God, the seeds of heaven, are being sown in our hearts, are being sown in this world. And it's happening. Everything that Isaiah talked about has already started to happen. The stump has sprouted. And we are invited to be good soil. We are invited to participate. We are invited to grow. Others, like a seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And the thing about the gospel, the thing about being a disciple, it's not easy. It's not easy. If it was, everybody would do it, right? Following Jesus is and being His disciple, being His follower, takes commitment. It takes prioritization of our lives and the other things that would come in and choke it out. It takes a soft heart. But it's not easy. But man, it is so good. So we are invited to let this seed grow in our hearts as individuals and as a community. Let's pray as Travis comes to prepare the elements for the communion. God, we do just thank You so much for not giving up on us. Thank You so much for not abandoning us because of our hard hearts, God. Thank You for second chance after second chance after second chance. Please help us to be good ground. Please help us as individuals and as a community to be fertile. Help us to clear away the weeds. Help us to embrace this seed that You have planted in us. Help each of us, God, to take the next step. God, we thank You for this body, Your body that was broken and Your blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, God, for the things that would have otherwise stood in the way of being a part of what you do in this world, in this cosmos. We thank you, God, for who you are and what you're like.